We are passionate. If you're a college student here, we are passionate about you walking in the purpose of God, what God's called you to do. And so that's one of the reasons we are doing this series. If I ignore it, maybe it'll go away, because I know, I've been a college student, I'm a post-college student, I know in my own life there are things inside of me keeping me from where God's calling me into. We'll say that again. There are things inside of me keeping me from where God's calling me into. So if I know that's true for me, I know it's true for you. And so we're doing this series because I know that there's more to this walk with God than avoiding hell or coming out of judgment or getting saved, but walking into the purpose of God. And there are things that the Bible calls these strongholds. There are fortresses in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your body, that are keeping you from moving forward and that we need to deal with, because if we don't deal with them, if we ignore them, they don't go away. They actually grow, and their influence grows, and they actually influence more of our lives. And so this morning, I'm entitling this, Get Your Mind Right. And so a couple years ago, I've had back pain, and I did the typical stuff. I'm like, all right. Still hurts, you know. So I'm running. I'm doing some things to try to loosen my back up, and still having some issues. So I go see a local chiropractor who comes to this church. Not a chiropractor, a physical therapist. He comes to this church and gave me some exercises. So first thing they tell me, man, you got to change your sleeping position. I'm like, no, man, that's a hard thing to change. Man, if you slept a certain way your whole life, you know, it's this, you know. I'm face down, get my hand under my pillow. Like, you don't mess with that, man. I get good sleep, but my back was hurting. So I got a new mattress. I changed my sleeping position. I had exercises I was doing. Went to the car. I mean, I did the full gamut. Changed some of my diet, less sugar, all these things. You know, I saw some breakthrough. But that thing has to be maintained sometimes. Like, I can't just ignore it. Like, I just check that box. And what I found out in my walk with the Lord is that strongholds are similar in this reality, is that they're holistic. There are some things that you and I are involved in. This could be as stark and as dark as maybe some substance abuse or some addictive behaviors, or it can be something as sanctified and as okay as just conflict avoidance or relational sabotage. And there are things in our lives that we are holding on to, that are in our hearts and minds, that are keeping us from that next thing that God is calling us into. And so this morning, or last week, we talked about the power of generational sin, how when we sin, that pattern is actually passed through our DNA. And we have a tendency. It's not determinism. It's not fatalism. You don't have to do it. But there is a pull in certain directions because of the sins of our fathers. And we talked about the power of the gospel to come in and break that, that is not our destiny, that if you are in Christ, he has given you the power to walk a new path. And this week, we're talking about the power of the mind and our hearts and what we believe. So let me pray real quick, and we're going to jump in this morning. Father, I ask that you would pour out your spirit. Help us. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, I pray. My prayer this morning is that you will write new scripts on our hearts. That there are old ways of thinking. There are old ways, habits in our soul that are twisting our minds, that are changing what we should believe about who you are, about who we are, that you would change those this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 12, fairly familiar passage. 1 and 2, it says this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is his good an acceptable and perfect will. The phrase here I want to focus on is be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That the way you think alters how you live. What you believe alters how you believe. The first time I was in New York City, I was a college student, I was a sophomore. Right after September 11th, we were going up there to plant a church that's thriving even now. But we were going, we were sharing the gospel, we're giving hope to people. But my first time kind of driving into the city, I grew up in Eastern North Carolina, never been to New York City. This is a little intimidating. I remember being a little overwhelmed by the size of the buildings, the people. And I'm just kind of freaking out. My friend, who was playing a little joke on me, there was another person of our group. He was from the Philippines. His name was Rico. And he was, I didn't know this, but he's a pretty dynamic guy. But my friend was playing a joke on me. And there's some people about the Philippines, I don't know if you know this, but they age well, you know what I'm saying? Like, they look younger than they actually are. And so my friend said, you know, Rico over here, he's only 19, man, he's really nervous. You know, think you could, like, befriend him, you know, help him feel welcome. I'm like, oh, yeah, man, like, I needed something to focus on, you know, like, I'm going to help this brother out, you know. And so I started getting around him. I realized, man, this guy's really mature, man. Like, in fact, I think he's more secure than I am. I was, by the end of my conversation with him, I'm like, this guy could teach me or something, you know. And finally she broke it to me. Yeah, he's 30. He's like a pastor in the Philippines. He's like oversees about 10,000 youth. I'm like, oh, great. And he's from Manila. But see, what's interesting is the reality of who he was, I missed because I believed something false about him. What I believed about him, which wasn't true, drastically altered how I related to him. It affected my attitude towards him, affected my actions towards him, and yet it was completely false. See, that's the power of belief. That's the power of the mind. So what we're focusing on this morning is that when our mind is right, then other things can be right too. But when our mind is wrong, our actions, our habits, our attitudes, they're wrong as well. Brings me to my first point. Getting your mind right begins by having a better idea of who God is. We look at this passage. It says, brothers, I urge you by the mercies of God. How do you see God? What's the first thing that comes into mind when you think about who God is? Is he loving? Is he merciful? See, Paul, for 11 chapters, has been painting a picture of who God is. He said, man, look, you were born in your sin. You were twisted and broken, and God, in his great love, unto great cost to himself, emptied himself, became a man in Jesus, lived the life we should have lived, and died in our place for our sins and rose again. This, for 11 chapters, he's unpacking this theologically. He's saying, look, guys, in view of who God is, merciful, that when you were broken, then you were hurting, that you were actually stiff-arming in him and running away, he's pursuing you. He's merciful. See, when we see God as merciful, it changes how we approach him. Do we run to God in need, or do we try to do it ourselves? All of these elements change how we react towards God. We see this in Genesis 3, in the garden, in the first sin, where Adam and Eve are in the garden. God puts them in the garden and says, don't eat of this tree. And what is the accusation? What is the temptation? Did God really say? Did God really say you shouldn't eat of this? What was he doing? He was trying to undercut their view of who God is. There was a subtle temptation and a subtle accusation that God's holding out on you. I mean, think about the difference in the reality of what God was doing and what the enemy was saying he was doing. See, God is good. Look around you. Look at all that he's created. He's even created a garden of order, and he's put you in it and taught you how to tame his creation. That's why he says, increase and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. What I'm doing in the garden, I want you to take it to the ends of the earth. If you'll even read in that passage, it says that a river ran through the garden and broke into four rivers and went, because what was the view? The view was that what I'm doing in this garden in you, I want to cover the face of the earth. How good God, it was good. And the plants and the animals, it was good. And here's the lie. Did God really say? What was he saying? This whole thing's a charade. This whole thing's a charade. What God's doing, he's keeping back from you what you really want. That was the lie. It was not, oh, look at this fruit. Well, I have all this other fruit, but I might as well eat this. No, it was in a moment anxiety. It was fear. It was inculcating the heart and the mind through a lie. God's holding out on you. With that, we lose sight of what God said. When we lose sight of who he is, we'll fall for anything. We don't know who we are. We're eating things we shouldn't eat. We're lost and broken. So getting your mind right begins with having a better idea of who God is. God is for you. We have this song, we sing it over and over. He is for me. We sing because we need to hear it over and over. He is for me. He is for me. He's not holding out on me. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He'll work all things for his good. But when we lose sight of how good he is, when we lose sight of his mercy and what he's done in the gospel, and we'll fall for anything. We'll trade it all for a piece of fruit. How ridiculous is that? And we've all done it. Brings us to my second point. Getting your mind right continues with having a better idea of who you are. Who are we? We like to think in the West here that we're rational beings, right? We think things through. We get the evidence, unbiased, we filter through it, and we make logical decisions. If we followed you around, would that be true? See, here's the thing about who we are. We're very complicated creatures. We have a mind, we have a heart, we have emotions, we have a body. They're all interconnected, they're not separated. Paul in the book of Romans describes man in his sinful state, describes man in his broken state. I want you to listen to this. See how these areas begin to play on each other. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Let's just start there. By us doing what we want to do more than what God has said, we take the truth that we know is in us. We know what's right and wrong. We know what's good, and we push it down. We suppress the truth. It's there, but we hold it under the water like a beach ball pushed under the water. Every once in a while, it'll slip and come up, and we'll push it back down. We suppress the truth. Why? Not because we're logical, because we want to do what we want to do. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. What is it saying? What we knew about God, that he is awesome and great, that when he said, let there be light, when he created the world, it is still expanding in beauty and glory. We don't thank him for that. We don't honor him. And when we don't worship him, our thinking becomes broken. See, our worship and our thinking and our hearts are all interconnected. And as we worship anything but God, because here's the thing, you are worshiping. We'll say that again. You are worshiping. The question is, what are you worshiping? The reason I know that is because God created you to worship. You are a worshiping being. You cannot not worship. It comes out of you because that's who you are. What are you worshiping? Are you worshiping a view of life? A quality of life? Are you worshiping an ideology? Are you worshiping pleasure? Are you worshiping the God of heaven who gave himself for you? I don't know what it is, but you are worshiping something, and whatever you're worshiping is forming your mind and your heart. That's what the scripture says here. They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. When their foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals. Therefore, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creatures rather than the Creator. It's amazing. We are worshipers. Another way you could say that is we are lovers. We love something and then we rationalize it with our minds. We don't usually rationalize something and then love. We typically love something and then rationalize why we do it. Here's an example. Racial injustice is big right now in the headlines and for good reason. And so we think about this and we think, man, we as a nation propagated slavery. It wasn't because we rationalized this will be a good thing. No, we loved wealth. We were greedy. We loved comfort. And then we rationalized a practice that was horrible to rationalize what we were doing, that it's okay. We even used scripture to do that in some cases. We had these false theories about who God was, about who people that don't look like me are. And then we rationalize our behavior. And think, oh, it's okay because of this, this, this. See, we're lovers, we're worshipers, and then we use our rationality to undergird what we want to do. So we have to understand, what does that mean? What does that have to do with what I'm saying is this, is that our minds are intricately connected with our hearts and our bodies. That's why when we read this scripture, Romans 12, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, your whole persons as worship to God. Your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What does that mean? Don't do what the world does. That's what it means. Because what the renewal of the mind is very connected with what you do, not just with what you learn. Your behavior is forming your heart and your mind. It's not just empty behavior. It's pulling your heart with it. I'll give you an example. I have kids, and when kids are younger, they're helpless. You got to feed them. You got to clean up after them. I mean, if you didn't take care of them, they literally would die when they're early on. And then slowly you do, and it takes years. You don't get anything from them. It's not like, oh man, I cleaned up their poop and they were like so thankful and they gave me this word of affirmation. I'm like, Dad, you're doing such a good job. Nothing. They usually look at you and you're like, ah, you know. But you do it. You serve them and you just give yourself unconditionally because you don't get anything back. You just do unconditionally. And then you realize, man, the more you serve them, we were talking about this at our marriage night a couple nights ago. The more you serve them, the more you love them. And then by the time they're adolescents, you want to give, you'll give anything for them. You'll pour out, you'll empty your checkbook, you'll do whatever. If you, it's for them and will benefit them, you will sacrifice for them. Do you see the progression there? You served, you did, you took your body, you dirtied your hands, you emptied your body, you did all these things, and guess what followed? Emotion and feeling. An actual, tangible, man, I will give my life. I will die for them. It wasn't like, you know what? I think I'm going to give my life for these kids. No, it was, I served them. And then as you serve, as you gave your body, as you gave your heart, as you gave your money, do you realize, oh, I have all this emotion. We typically want to wait for the emotion to rise. Oh, now I just want to give my life for you. It didn't happen that way. Because they're interconnected. What's my point? Here's my point. When we want to transform our mind, we want to get our mind right, it's a holistic experience. coming in here and looking online to worship God, to sit in a room and take the time to pull up the video and worship, if we're just passively observing, we only get a fraction of the experience. But we have to engage our hearts. We have to engage our minds. We have to maybe even say out loud, sing. You might be the only one in the room. Sing out loud. Be in here with your heart and your mind with who God is. Because that forms parts of you that you don't rationally understand. That's why I don't just sit here and worship. But I'm going to engage my heart. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to extend my voice because there's power in worship. It's forming me and changing the way I think. It's amazing because I can come in here, be discouraged, anxious, depressed. I can engage in worship whether I feel like it or not. I will force myself some Sundays to come in and just declare God's good. I mean, I'll leave in a better mood. What happened? Nothing changed. But something was altered in my soul because I extended grace to God, the grace he's given to me. It changed the way I think. It changed the way I viewed the world. So your mind, your body, what you do with your hands, what you do with your feet, what you do with your eyes and your ears, they form your body. And they help transform the way you think. So not just information, it's holistic. Y'all following me? It's not just understanding God, but it's understanding who you were and who you are in Christ. There's this practice in the Bible, you see it time and time again, where God will change the name of someone. And it's usually ridiculous. You're Abram, which means the father of many. You've had zero kids. I'm going to change your name. Abraham, the father of many nations. What? Oh, he's 75, by the way. What was God doing? He said, look, I'm making you into something you can't make yourself. My son was younger. We had this, if you grew up in church, there was this song about Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And I loved to get my son's attention, so I'd be real animated. I said, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And he's like two. He's like, oh, yeah. And a wee little man was he. And he'd be like, this big? Oh, yeah, this big. And he climbed up in the sycamore tree, and he'd see what he could see. And I'd go like that, and Isaac would be in his bed. And he'd go like this. Like he'd get into the story, right? He'd get into the song, and he'd look, he'd turn. He was in there, and there was this passage in Judges 6 where God comes up to Gideon, who is afraid, and he's in this house, and he's threshing wheat in a wine press, and his people are subjugated, and he's the least of his people. And the angel of the Lord shows up, and he says, Gideon, my mighty warrior. You know what Gideon does? You're talking to me? Yeah, yeah. Because see, I'm making you into something you can't see. He's speaking something over Gideon that he isn't. But he is in God. See, if you want to get your mind right, you've got to see yourself for how God sees you. You're not who you think you are. You're not the culmination of your failures, and you're not the culmination of your past sins or your struggles. You're who he says about you. And if you're going to walk out deliverance, you're going to walk out of your stronghold. You got to hear, what has God said about me? I remember I was a college student, and I was in sophomore, and I was going over on a mission trip to Australia. So I was excited, and we were gathered for a training, and they were prophesying over us. So I was excited about that. I'm like, okay, man, I'm getting prophesied over. And then this guy comes in, reputable guy, I knew him, and he comes up, man, I just see, this is what I see over you. Your purity, you're pure. You know what I did? I mean, I knew myself. It was not a time in my life where that could be accused of that. And I just remember him saying, man, you're pure. And I'm thinking, you missed it, bro. Like, I'm judging that word. That's off. Like, you missed that one, man. That is not the Lord. But see, what was he saying? I left that meeting just could hear it. You're pure. I'm not. You're pure. My mom actually gave me this frame of what my name means. And you know, you go to different websites, your name can mean something like drastically different. Like I went to this one website and it was like, Blake means black. Okay. And then this other website, Blake means white. I'm like, well, which? I'm confused. Which one is it? But she had pulled up this like calligraphy of what my name means. And in it, she had given it to me. I think she was cleaning out the house. And this is what it said. Blake, pure one. See, God was calling something out of me that I didn't feel. It wasn't really true. It wasn't true as in I couldn't base that on my history. But God was speaking it over me. Because that's who I am in Christ. I am pure. I'm righteous in his eyes. See, he was calling me something I wasn't. What's God calling you this morning? What's he saying about who you are? Is the script you're following scripture? Is the script you're living out, is the script that you're identifying yourself, that you're owning, is it scripture? Is it defining where you're going? Or is it just by your history? It's just by what the world says. You know what? I feel this way, therefore I must be. God help us if we fly our planes of our lives by how we feel. I'm talking about a death dive. You fly by the instruments. There are times when you can see clearly and your senses are right on and you're right where you should be. And then there are other times when you know, man, you don't see anything. There's fog and you're just going into a death dive because you're, oh, I think maybe I'm up, maybe I'm down. Just you, but you got to fly by your instruments. Who does God say I am? Man, I feel like I'm in a whirlwind. Then don't fly by your feelings. What's true? Who has he called you to be? Who has he wired you to be? Not according to your inclinations, but according to his word. Getting your mind right means knowing who God is and knowing who you are and then knowing who you are in Christ. Finally, getting your mind right means applying the gospel of who we are in Christ to the truths and the truths of Scripture to specific scenarios. Say that again. Getting your mind right means applying the gospel, who you are in Christ, and the truths of Scriptures to specific scenarios. There's a, in fact, even on the app this week, if you go to your app, there's a resource. It gives you some examples of some faulty scripts. I'll give you an example of what this might sound like in your own heart and mind. I don't belong. I will always be on the outside. Now, these aren't scripts that you were like consciously thought about. Yeah, you know what? I'll always be on the outside. You probably don't say that to yourself, but you might live it. You might have believed it in your heart. What does God say about this? I belong completely to God, my Father and my friend. He's placed me in his family who accepts me. I choose to reach out to them and build relationally with them. Psalm 68:6. I will always be this way. I've heard that before. You'll always be this way. Is that what God says about you? The gospel of Jesus is a seed inside my heart. That's what Jesus said. It will grow and expand, influencing every area of my life. God began a work in me, and he won't stop until he's completed it. I'm in process, and he put me in that process. He will see it to the end. He is the potter, and I am the clay. He has given me his Holy Spirit, who is my helper, helping me become more like him and all that he has called me. Jeremiah, Philippians, John. All there. What am I saying? I'm saying we're living out a script that's not scripture. Who told you that? That's what I love about Genesis 3. Here, they eat the fruit. They give away the glory. They go hide, put some fig leaves on. I don't know why fig leaves. Maybe a banana leaf. I was thinking. But fig leaf. I don't know why fig leaf. Fig leaves. And where they come out, they said, we were scared. Well, you know what God said? Who told you that? Who told you that you were naked? Where did you get your information from? Who's defining your reality? Who's writing your script? It wasn't me. That's not who you are. Does my script line up with Scripture? So again, guys, this can be as destructive and as dark as addiction. And this can be as subtle as relational sabotage, is conflict avoidance, is the thing in your marriage that's like a, what is it? I think it's Song of Solomon. It's the small foxes that ruin the vineyard. It's that little thing that you won't deal with because you're insecure or you're afraid or there's some kind of wound in your past that God's saying, man, it's time to step into this and examine it for what it is. Because sometimes we're living according to scripts that we don't even realize. It's with a conversation that we're talking about these things that something comes out of your mouth and you're like, dear God, I've been living years of my life based on that, and it's false. I just want to be accepted, and I'll do whatever it takes to be accepted by this group of people, and they don't even like me. And God's saying, man, I'll accept you for who you are, and I'll never leave you. And I'll put you in people who accept you for who you are and help you walk out your purpose. But we're living according to faulty scripts. We've got to know what the gospel says about us, who we are in Christ, and the truths of Scripture about this scenario, about my belonging, about my identity, about my proclivities. We put on these gospel lenses that frame us and help us walk in victory and become who He's called us to become. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning that You love us, that I don't care where anybody is, at home or in this room, that You are not too far from the mercy of God. You haven't sinned too darkly. You haven't done something too wrong that He would turn away from You. He is pursuing you by the Spirit. Lord, right now, Holy Spirit, right where people are, minister to them by the Spirit. Pour out Your love. Lord, I pray that You would write new scripts this morning about who they are. You're a daughter of God, worthy of waiting for. You're a son of God, strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. You're not a coward, you're courageous. You're not impure, you're holy in my sight. You're not a failure. You're complete in Christ, and you're connected to a perfect God who will bring you to completion. I've adopted you for my glory, not because you deserve it, because I want the glory of rewriting your script and sending you into your purposes. You were broken, you were confused, you were bound up, and I'm setting you free for my glory by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just right where you are, right at home or in this room, just receive these words. You're strong. You're a son of God. He is the glory and the lifter of your head. You're a daughter of God. You're a leader, and your voice matters. There's strength in you. You have a voice. I don't care what your parents did or how long your list of failures are. I write new scripts. Receptive to the Spirit this morning, I just want you to just open your hands to the Lord right where you are. If you want to raise them, raise them. If you want to just lift them to the Lord, lift them to the Lord. Just receive what the Spirit has. Just position yourself, a posture of surrender. Receive his love. Receive his affirmation, his identity. Testament calls repentance. Essentially, it's this: it's a changing of the mind. It's you agreeing with God about what you've done and about who you are. Repentance is saying, Lord, I'm sorry for this, and be specific to the Lord. But it's also, I'm sorry for believing this about me. I'm sorry I believed that I'd always be this way. That's not what you said. That's repentance. That's agreeing with God. Look, I was wrong in believing this, and now I'm going to believe what you said. That's a turning away and a turning to God. It's called repentance. There's no growth. There's no spiritual breakthrough. There's no new page of the chapter without repentance. You have to agree with who you are and disagree with what you believed. So if that's you this morning, I just want you to pray to yourself, but out loud, this prayer. Father, forgive me for believing what was false, whether by ignorance or whether by blatant decision. Forgive me. I want to believe what you've said about me. Fill me with your spirit. Put people around me to challenge me and love me. Push me and prod me forward in love. Thank you, Jesus, that today is a new day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just want to encourage you this morning. We've got some resources on our app. Maybe I didn't touch a script or a belief that you're struggling with. But there's some samples in there to maybe help you think that through, maybe through journaling, maybe through a conversation with a spiritual mentor or a big brother, big sister of the Lord. An example of how to kind of craft that out and begin to speak that over yourself. This isn't, it's kind of like you come to the doctor and they give you a prescription. Here's a spiritual prescription this morning. Begin to say this over you every day. Use that app this week. See you next week. James, come up here and let us out. Thank you for joining us on the podcast.